I love what God is doing. And I want to tell you, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here today. Okay, so a lot of y'all don't know me, but I've come today to bring what I call nuggets to you today. There are some nuggets that you need to move from where you are right now forward. Now, let me tell you a little story. In 1871, there was a man named William Oster. I don't know if it's Oster or Oster, but I'm going to say Oster. And he was destined to be the most famous doctor of his generation. He would in time be the one who would actually organize the John Hopkins School of Medicine. Now, if you don't know anything about John Hopkins School of Medicine, it's a big deal, even today. But he helped organize that, and the story goes that he would actually establish the first residency program for specialty training at John Hopkins, and he would write the preeminent medical textbook. Can you imagine writing a medical textbook? You used to be a nurse. Can you imagine writing something like that? Of his era. But here's the thing. He said one day he heard 22 words that changed his life. And he heard a Scottish historian say these words. Our grand business undoubtedly is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. Okay, now, you might say, well, wait a minute. I got dreams and visions, and I got goals, and I got plans. And you know what? That's good. You should. You know, if you don't have a destination, how are you going to know where you're going? You've got to have some plans and some purposes down there. In fact, the word says to write it down. Make it plain. So this is what Habakkuk 2:2-3 says. It says, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he may run with that who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. You got some dreams and goals? I got some dreams and goals. I'm kind of an old girl here. I've been around a little while. But I still have dreams and goals and things I want to get done before either he comes here or I go there, whichever one comes first, okay? You might say this. Well, when I leave here, when I get done with this program, I'm going to be a teacher, or I want to be a preacher, or I want to do this, or whatever your dreams and goals are. Nothing wrong with that, but it's a process, y'all. It's a process. Line upon line, precept upon precept, step by step. What you're doing right now is a process. Where you want to go is a process. And I learned this a long time ago. Don't let your desires outweigh your disciplines. You are learning things here that are disciplines for your life. Not that I guess what I'm trying to say is the Word of God to me is like breathing. It's like I got to know what God wants me to do in order to go through the process. But I can't let my dreams, my goals, my visions outweigh the way God tells me to do it. Does that make sense? Okay, so you got to do that. So everything is a process. I was reading Habakkuk, and I was kind of, as I was reading through this, and God, you probably know this a whole lot better than I do, but to me it seemed like that book was about growing in your faith from fear and doubt to absolute trust. We've got to grow in our faith from fear and doubt to absolute trust in God. You know, I've had an opportunity to experience that. I was married for 53 years to a precious man of God. And oh gosh, we had a crazy wild marriage and it was wonderful. Kind of started out a little rocky. We had to learn how to get along. But once we came into unity of the Spirit, God did some great things. But he went home to be with Jesus 2 years ago. And I will tell you, that first year I had a little bit of fear and doubt. And I had to learn how to get past the fear and doubt, and I'm still learning that, by the way, to an absolute trust that God said in His Word, I'll take care of the widows and the orphans. Oh my gosh, He's talking about me. So we've got to get to that place where we have that absolute process. Isaiah 28:10. Precept and precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It is still a process. Now I want to tell you one thing. You will never reach your goal and ignore the process. It ain't going to happen. You will never reach your goal and ignore your process. And you know, sometimes processing ain't fun. And sometimes it's hard. Okay, so I want to tell you, I saw a cartoon in a magazine one time, and it had this man with this big canoe, and he was getting ready to put it in the Whitewater Rapids, okay? And there was and he was all by himself, just him and this canoe, and there was a sign posted there. And the sign said, if you should fall in, you must be a willing participant in your own rescue. The deal is, nobody can walk your road but you. It's you and God. I've learned that more in this last 2 years since my husband went to heaven. You know, somebody called me one day and they said, Cheryl, how you doing? I said, well, I'm going through the go-throughs. There's some things that just you and God have to go through. And they can't nobody help you. They can't. I mean, you can get advice and prayer and all that, but honey, you still gotta go through your go-throughs all by yourself, just you and God. And it's a whole lot better when you're walking hand in hand with Him. It's a whole lot better when you're going through something if you are walking with the Lord, if you're trusting in the Word, if you're leaning on His promises. You know, this world we live in is crazy nuts. And I don't know how people do it without Jesus. I think God, they go crazy nuts. I guess that's what they do. See, the deal is, this program that you're walking through, it ain't a 24-hour deal. You don't just buzz in and buzz out. We come in, we submit ourselves to the will of the Lord. We don't let our desires outweigh our disciplines. And we walk it out one step at a time. And so I'm going to be like 75 years old in November. So believe me, you ain't too old to learn the Word and to learn a new way and to learn His new ways for you in this season of your life. Life will be wrapped up in seasons. This, what you're doing right now, it ain't going to be forever. This is a season of time in your life. And I would encourage you, embrace it. Embrace it. Because God has a plan and a purpose for every single person in this room. You were not an accident. He weren't just thrown into this world to breathe air. You have a purpose. And I think Guy and I were talking this morning, because I have a son that he's been arrested. He did drugs. He like drove us crazy. Oh my God. I told him, I said, that boy has kept me on my knees more than anything I know. He's free today. He's not doing drugs. However, he's still not living for Jesus. Not yet. And one of the things Guy said, he said, well, he hadn't found his identity yet. I want to encourage you, find your identity in Jesus Christ quick. Get it in your spirit. Who you are and whose you are. Your God in heaven loves you so much. And we hear that, and I don't want it to sound like a familiarity or a flippant. Y'all, if I didn't know that, I couldn't make it. If I didn't know that somebody loved me, even if they don't have flesh and blood on them, but in the spirit, man, that He loves me, that Cheryl has a plan and a purpose, and I'm here to do something. When my husband passed away, God spoke three things to my heart. And he said this. He said, spend time with the people that you love. That can be family, that can be not family. But spend time with the people that you love. Stay in my word. And finish what you started. I believe there's people in this room that have started things and you hadn't finished them. And maybe you started some things God told you to do a long time ago and you got waylaid by the enemy. And God might be speaking to you today to finish what you started. And this is part of the process. So I just want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for you. So my little story at the beginning was concentrate on what is clearly in front of you. It's good to have your goals. It's good to have your dreams and your visions. But here's what we got to do right here and now. Now faith is. Today faith is. So today we begin to concentrate on what's in front of us. Step by step, discipline by discipline, word by word. Whatever it takes to do what God's called you to do. Y'all, I was up this morning at 3:30. God woke me up. And I was praying for y'all. I always pray for Guy and Kate and for the ministry here. But I want you to know, I believe God's calling me to pray for all of y'all. One at a time, every one of y'all. When I get up in the morning to start praying, God, for those women in that room, show them who they are in Christ. For those men that are here, raise them up to be mighty men of valor. You know, I'm praying over you, and I believe God will answer it if you cooperate. Amen. He ain't going to make you do nothing. Sometimes I wish he would. But he's not going to make you. You know, the Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. Now, I will say this. I think I told God this yesterday. I know, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the earth. And I know Jesus is coming back. And I don't think it's that far away. And I want to hear that trumpet blast. You know, I want to make sure I don't miss it. And I said, now, Holy Ghost, I know that you are a still small voice. But could you holler for me, please? Just make sure I don't miss you. I don't want to miss you. Focus on, when you're focusing on your day-to-day things, focus on what's coming in instead of the outgoes. Focus on the incoming. What's coming into your spirit today? What word did God preach last week that touched your heart? What word did you read the other day that jumped off the pages and jumped into your heart? Focus on the incoming and not what you did last week, last month, last year. It doesn't matter. You can't go back and fix it. It's over. And tomorrow, we don't even know. The Bible says don't even worry about tomorrow. It ain't got here yet. Focus on what's right now, here, and today. Our pastor was preaching the other day, and he said, you know, when you don't know what to do, do the next first right thing. When you don't know what to do the next first right thing. I know this. I know you know what the next first right thing is to do here because you're taught it every day. I know what comes out of this pulpit, and I know it is great. There's a girl I watched one day on TV. She was being interviewed, never heard of her before because I'm not in the athletic world, and her name is Kara Lawson. She happens to be an Olympic Olympian herself. She was on the WNBA herself. Powerful young girl. She is actually the head basketball coach at Duke University. She gathered up all of her people, all of her, players. I think she had 17 players. She didn't know it, but somebody was recording her, and they put it out on social media, and it just went absolutely viral. She did a great speech, but this is what I got out of what she told those players. And maybe you're doing this too. She said sometimes her players will go, wow, when I get out of college, it's going to get easier. Well, when I get married, it's going to be easier. Well, when I get a job, it's going to be easier. Listen, the easy bus ain't coming. It will, listen to me, this is really important. It will never get easier. Because everything on this earth right now is hard. Everything. Except getting saved. That's easy. If you're really real, you open up your heart, ask Jesus to come in, baby, it's a done deal. And it's linked to eternal life. Hallelujah. That's the easiest thing I ever did. However, walking through what some of the things I've had to walk through, it hadn't been easy. Walking through some of the stuff you've been through hadn't been easy either. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what she told him to do. Learn how to do hard better. Amen. Learn how to do hard better. I thought about that and I thought, well, Lord, how do we do hard better? How do we do that? One thing is we got to have a right attitude. If you're going to make it from where this young man stood to over here where your dreams and visions and goals are, you just can't do it with a, pardon my French, a snotty attitude. That's what my mother would tell me. Straighten up and fly right, is what she'd say. But here's the thing. If you look back at the Old Testament, what kept the children of Israel out of the Promised Land? They griped. They complained. They murmured. They saw miracle after miracle. And yet they griped and they complained. Hey, a right attitude puts you in the place to receive from God. If you're going to gripe and complain, let me tell you something that I may have told this story here, I'm going to tell it again. We used to live in Collierville, Tennessee, which is right outside Memphis. And we moved, my husband got a job promotion, and we moved from there to Jacksonville, Florida. Now, I had been at home for 10 years raising my kids. I loved being at home, being a stay-at-home mom. It was great. Well, when we got to Jacksonville, my husband came to me one day, and he said, Cheryl, I need your help. I said, okay, what you need? He said, I need you to get a job. And I said, get a job? He said, yes, we need some extra finances to get over the financial hit we took in moving. Because it's not cheap to move, okay? And I'm thinking, get a job? I don't know how to do anything except preach, pray, and prophesy. And I don't think anybody's going to pay me to do that. And then finally, I did get a job at a bank. And so I'm working at this bank as a teller, and it's full of a bunch of women. And they came up to me one day, and they said, Cheryl, we want you to play the lottery with us. And I went, well, I don't think so. That's not for me. What? You're not going to play the lottery with us? No, I don't think so. If you don't mind, I don't want to do that. Oh, she's Miss Goody Goody Two-Shoes. Well, let me tell you something. From that point on, those women hated me. They did not like me one bit. Well, I came home griping about that job. The next morning I got up, I went out the door griping about that job. I griped going in, I griped coming out, and my husband took it for about all he could take it. And I walked in the back door one night, and he stuck his finger in my chest, and he said, you better quit cursing God's blessing. And I hit my knees. I knew it wasn't just my husband. I knew that was a word from God. I hit my knees. I wept. I repented. And I said, God, now I'm not going to lie because I don't like that job. And those women don't like me. And it's not fun. And I don't like to do things that aren't fun. But I'm thankful for the opportunity and for your provision in our life. I had to adjust my attitude. And I had to go back into a place where nobody liked me. They could care less. And I had to put a smile on my face and be thankful for that job. There's going to come some places that God puts you and you can't be cursing God's blessing. I mean, we were even driving an old beat up old car one time and I got all upset over this beat up old car. And Ed said, don't be cursing God's blessing. We ain't walking. We're riding. So I want you to look in your life. Do you have some blessings from God that you're griping and complaining about? That will hold up the presence and power of God in your life big time. So we got to have a right attitude. I want to read something to you. This is Isaiah 60, verse 1. Listen to it from the Amplified. It says, arise from your spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come. I want you from this moment forward to be brilliant. I'm not talking about intellect. I'm talking about shining your light, the glory of God that's on the inside of you, into a very dark world. You are the light of the world. And you can be brilliant. Again, that's adjusting our attitudes now. We're going to adjust them and we're going to be brilliant and we're going to shine. Another area that we're going to have to work on, if we're going to get from here to there, is we're going to have to watch the battlefield of the mind. You know, the scripture says to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you've never read Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind, let me know. I'll get y'all some. That's the best book she ever wrote. And the thing is, what you think, hey, whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Don't play around with things that don't line up with the Word. That's a discipline, okay? That is a discipline. Because the enemy, that's his playground. And I saw something, I don't do a lot of social media, but because of my ministry, I do some stuff on Facebook, and I saw this, a little thing. It says, don't let somebody with dirty feet walk across your mind. Don't let thoughts that dirty up your mind, you stop them at the door. We're not doing this. Heck no, we're not thinking this. Put on praise music. Start praying in tongues. Start lifting up the name of Jesus. That's the best battlefield of the mind right there, because he has to go when that kind of stuff is going on. I want you to know that God has a plan. If I were to go around this room to everybody and say, what's your dream? What's your goal? What are you doing to get there? What is some of the things, right now while you are here, you're laying the foundation for that. And nothing, if it's not built on a good, solid foundation of Jesus Christ, it's going to be sinking sand anyway. So today we're going to, while you're walking through this program, you are building a foundation for what God's calling you to do. And again, don't think it has to be done in a day or a month or sometime even a year or 2 years. But just know, he's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. So he's doing it. And he's doing it. What's the song that we sing? Even though you can't see it, he's working. Even though you don't feel it, he's working. He's working. He's always working. He's always working on you and me. And he's doing it. So my word to you today is to learn how to do hard better. And you're going to have the right attitude. You're going to have the right mindset. And you're going to have to watch what comes out of your mouth. My mouth gets me in a lot of trouble. That's why I think, I don't know, but I think speaking in tongues is powerful. Because you can't mess it up. I love something I can't mess up. And when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying a perfect prayer. And Paul said, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. You can't pray in the Spirit in English. That don't work. English is English. Flesh is flesh. But the Spirit, now that's another thing. I want to encourage you to do that a lot. I pray in the Spirit in the shower. I pray in the Spirit driving to the grocery store. I pray in my house in the Spirit. It sets the tone. It watches. It's like the watchman on the wall of your mouth. And it is kind of hard to talk ugly after you've been praying in the Spirit. So I just want to encourage you. It's your mind. It's your mouth. It's your attitude. And then I want to encourage you to do this. Whatever it is you're called to do, do it as unto the Lord. If you're called to sweep the floor, vacuum this, put up that, do whatever it is and do it as unto God. It's not that you're, listen, He's called you here. He brought you here. This is not an accident. It's a divine appointment. It's a divine time in your life for things to be imparted to you that's going to bring you life, that's going to set you on a course. Girl, you ain't going back. Guys, we ain't going back. We are moving forward. Two-thirds of God's name is go, and honey, we're going. We are going, and we are going in the direction that He has called us to go in. I love this community because you're, even though you're going to have to walk out your individual walk, you still have people that love you, that are praying for you, that believe in you, and that are going to hold your hand. They might have to spank you every once in a while. I get a spanking all the time. I never will forget one time when my husband made a terrible mistake. And I knew it, but he wouldn't listen to me. And guys, if you're married, you better listen to your wife. Because God gives men sight, but He gives women insight. So pay attention. Anyway, he wouldn't listen to me. And then I remember fussing at the Lord. I was sitting on the steps going up to my upstairs. And I said, God, I don't understand this. Why are you doing this? You know he's wrong. And I'm just going off and going off. And I heard the Lord say, Cheryl, you asked me to deliver your husband from alcohol, and I did. You asked me for him to be born again, and he is. And when you don't trust him, it's not that you don't trust him. It's you don't trust me to lead him. I went, oh, goodness. And he said, he can't hear me and you both, so one of us is going to have to hush. I didn't like that either. So the Lord will correct you. And he will speak words to you. You don't want to hear them, but you know they're the truth. And you got to receive it. And then you got to act on it. So I'm here to tell you, allow God to speak to your heart. Listen to the people around you. Your leaders here are my best friends. They're amazing. They're never going to steer you wrong. My mother used to say this to me when she'd have to get on to me. She said, Cheryl, I will never tell you to do anything that's going to hurt you. And I used to think she always, well, you know how mamas and daughters are. We have issues sometimes, okay? But she said, I will never tell you to do anything that's going to hurt you. God's never going to speak a word to you that's going to hurt you. It's to your good. It's to your growth. It's to what he's called you to do. And so anyway. That's just my thing. All right, so we're going to be brilliant. We're going to shine. We're going to watch what's coming out of our mouth. We're going to have a right attitude. We're going to watch the battlefield of our mind. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to guard our heart. The scripture says to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And you know, you're going to have to be real careful what you open your heart to. And the world out there will dangle all kinds of carrots in front of you. All kinds. If we want the issues of life to flow out of our hearts, then my thing is, give your heart to Jesus. Put the word in. Keep it wrapped up in his word. Keep it wrapped up from the things that would come, bitterness, unforgiveness, strife, envy, and every evil work. We can't go there. You can't go there. You can't allow yourself to go there. And I know a lot of people who hate their parents, who hate their Uncle Susie, or Aunt Susie, and Uncle Tom, or Uncle so-and-so, or that girl down the street, or this girl I went to high school with. I'll never forgive her for that. Don't ever say that. You are going to forgive. You have to forgive. You have to cut the cord. Bitterness and unforgiveness will keep you from a lot of stuff. That is not guarding your heart. As a 5-year-old little girl, I was sexually abused by somebody in my family. And there was it was a one-time incident, but it marked my life for a long time. And when you have things that are down deep in your heart that never get healed, it can mess you up. That's why inner healing, allowing the counseling, allowing God to get on the inside of you. And there's some things that only He can do and no counselor in the world could do, because He's the best counselor. But I did have a physical friend who was a counselor. Before she ever got to know me very much, she nailed me. She knew it. She said, there's something in your past we got to deal with. And we counseled for a long time and we talked it out. I never had bitterness or unforgiveness for that person, but I was very hurt that that person didn't love me enough not to do that. And when I was 40 years old, she told me, she said, well, it's time to confront the abuser. And I went, oh gosh, I don't think I can do that. She said, yes, you can. And eventually I did confront that person. They admitted it. God healed our hearts. I forgave that person. And we now have a very good, holy, righteous relationship. It doesn't always work out like that, okay? But the whole point is I reached down and I took me back. When you release somebody from bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever, you take you back. See, God wants you to be whole, completely whole. He wants you to be completely free. And that's His goal for you. So we're going to have a good attitude. We're going to watch our mind, watch our mouth. We're going to guard our hearts. And I'm telling you, those things will help us to do hard better. And I think hard's probably going to get harder before it's all over with. I mean, I'm not telling you it's all a bed of roses. But here's the thing. You got God on your side. You got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe on your side. You have His word. I got to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma a few weeks ago to preach at my son's church. He's a kind of an executive pastor of a church out there. And I'm getting off the airplane in Tulsa, and this lady walks up to me. I've never seen her before in my life. She said, did I hear you say you are a preacher? And I said, well, I'm out here preaching at my son's church. And she said, well, I have a word for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is amazing. She gave me this word. This is from Psalms 32, 8 and 9, and it is from the Passion Version. I want you to hear it like God is saying it to you today. And here's what it says. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. Let me read that again for a minute. I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you to where you've never been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. Don't make it difficult for God to lead you and guide you. Don't be stubborn and say, I know what the word says, but I'm not going to do that. Well, don't make God have to pull and tug on you to get you to go where He's calling you to go. Listen, it's so easy. We sang it this morning. Grab a hold of the hem of His garment and just go with Him. Go with Him. It's not that hard. We make things hard sometimes. Just go with Him. Y'all, He's real. He's as real as Guy and Kate. He's as real as you are. He's alive. He's on the inside of you. When you accepted Jesus, everything Jesus was, God poured onto the inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have everything it takes to not just to do anything God's called you to do. And you know what I found? He'll call you to do stuff you don't know how to do. I don't know how to do what I'm doing. I'm having to run a nonprofit by myself, and I'm not an office girl. I need a Vivian. But you know what? I'm doing it. Step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm learning it. So don't freak out if he puts you in a place that you don't know how to do it. He loves to do that, because then he's, you know that if it gets done, it's got to be God, because you don't know how to do it. I just want you to know today that God has a plan and a purpose, and you are very special, and you are anointed. You're walking around with the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus from the dead. And you got to remember that. You got to tell yourself that. I don't care what you came from. I just know where you're going. If you're staying here and you're moving forward with God, you have a great future ahead of yourself. Amen. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us not when we were in church, but when we were out not doing what we should be doing. You loved us from the very beginning. God, I thank you for that precious, powerful love. Let it fill every person in this room. God, I thank you for this ministry, and I ask, Lord God, for your divine protection over everyone in this place. I ask you, Lord God, for your provision for this place. I thank you for every person that does anything around here to further the gospel. Lord, for every man and every woman in this room, God calls them today to know who they are in you. Awaken on the inside of them. Stir up on the inside of them what you're calling them to do. Give them strength in their weakness, God, to move forward to wherever you're taking them. God, we lay our lives before you today, and we say, God, have your way, your will in us this day. Holy Spirit, fill every person up with a fresh new anointing. Lord, we leak, so help us stay filled up with your presence and with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we love you and we praise you today in the mighty name of Jesus.